chapter number 6, and we're going to look at a goodly section this morning, and we'll be talking about the healing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we have a great healer. Do not misunderstand, I'm very thankful for doctors and nurses. I believe God uses people to perform miracles. And I've never found a doctor yet that's worth his salt that believes he did it. God gives him means to facilitate it. God gives him wisdom. But ultimately, it's God who must do whatever needs to be done. And what's neat, too, is how God put within the body healing properties. And so basically, they have to figure out what can trigger those healing properties. And it's just fantastic that we have some of this kind of thing available. Any of you folks cold this morning? Is it chilly in here? Anybody too hot? Huh? You like it? This fan above me don't normally bother me, but this morning it feels like it's... No, not that one. The other set. No, the number 3 or 4 there. No, those are lights. Next. That ain't it. That's it. Did you notice the last one he touched? By the way, somehow you put the dimmer on them back there. It's on the switch. All you, there's little. For you in the corner, good night. Lights are down dim. God's been so good to me to give me a people like you. Even amongst you are some ding-dongs, but thank God for you. That's not true. All righty, let's get serious. So, verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was a traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto them that are rich, For ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the prophets. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We can have in our hands this morning the Word of God. Lord, we're so thankful this morning that we can know that this is thus saith the Lord, have that assurance in our heart. Thus we have authority for that which we believe. We ask that you might secure that belief with more our review of truth in our hearts, that we might be able to go from here rejoicing for a God who is so marvelous as you. Bless in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, after this conflict with a religious crowd that we studied last week and a little bit the week before, we find the Lord gets away for a night of prayer. I found it very interesting this week. One of my granddaughters, we got, I think, four of our young people are going to go down to college days in Pensacola Christian College. And I heard her talking, and she says, I just can't wait to get away from it all. It just cracked me up. By the way, we are now great-grandparents once again. And our grandson Thomas, they had a little boy last night. And so he's, I don't know anything about him. We know a name, Benton. I don't know how big he is, you know. Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N, I think. Okay. I don't know middle name. I don't know anything else. I'm so happy to hear that. Okay. All right. I should have known that Jess would have the answers to that one. She says it's kind of scary, Thomas having a baby. If you knew Thomas, you would understand why she said that. He'll make a great daddy. Well, let's look here. After that conflict, we find the Lord has this night of prayer. And marvelous as we kind of stop and think about that. Is Jesus God? Amen. Amen. And who did he pray to? God the Father. In a sense, he's talking to himself. In a sense. And though he is God, as the Son of Man, he communicates with the Father. And it's unusual, the position he's put himself in, because as he, I believe, prays to the Father, he's seeking the guidance and the leadership of the Spirit of God as a man, and yet he's God. So are you confused yet, preacher? Yeah, I've been confused on that a long time. But I just accept it. And I don't understand the Trinity. That means triunity, three in one. I used to think I had that all figured out with an egg. And then I found out an egg has four parts. Did you know that? Yeah, which is actually the baby chicken. Okay. If you crack an egg open, you got the big white part. And then you got the yolk. And you, of course, you got the shell. But right along the yolk, you'll find just a little kind of a white splotch. And that's the actual egg, if you so please. And it's from that that the chicken develops. The yolk is what they eat. And the white of the egg is basically protection within that. It's just marvelous how God has made all of those things. Anyways, that all aside, thank God for who he is. Though he's God, he still communicates with the Father. Now, as I think about this, what did he go and pray for? What did he pray about? Well, we don't know. It's conjecture. But let me give you a thought here. He is omniscient, is he not? That means he knows everything. Okay? And so he already knew who the 12 would be. And yet he is our intercessor. I find that fascinating. He's our intercessor. And so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, perhaps the Lord, knowing who they are going to be, is praying for those who are chosen, that they'd have a willing heart. And perhaps he's also praying for those who have not been chosen. Because there's something that takes place when there's an election of whatever it is, whether it's nationally or statewide or even a church, there's something that always happens, and that is there can be that spirit of jealousy from those who don't get elected, so to speak. So he's praying, and perhaps that's what he's praying for. And thank the Lord, he still prays for us. One of the things that I find that Christians do is keep him really busy, interceding for us. Of course, we keep the devil very busy accusing us. Isn't that true? And much of his material we give to him. Well, of all the disciples that are following him, by the way, there's several because it tells us here that he chose these 12 out of many. They were chosen for a specific purpose. We find that they are then going to be called apostles. That word apostles means sent ones. It has to do with some specific sending, if you so please. All of us have been put in this world for a purpose. We are sent to give the gospel to other people. But here's some special ones in some special circumstance. One of the things, I don't know if you noticed this, but in those verses, starting in verse number 14 through 16, he names the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And if you notice, they're paired. They're paired. Two of those pairs are brothers. We know that from Scripture. Many of the others don't seem to have any ties. And I'm thinking to myself, why did he write it down this way? Why did he have it written down this way? And perhaps it's, in all probability, matching them up for ministry. In Mark chapter 6, it says he called to him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. So he's going to send them out two by two. And perhaps this is what he's showing us here, who those pairs are going to be. Now, there's something tremendous about having somebody else with you in ministry. I mean, if you go talk to somebody about Christ, it's always marvelous to have somebody else there. And there's a number of reasons for that. And one of those is one can be the talker and the other can be quiet. And the quiet one can be watching for things that might interrupt. They can be ones who are praying and asking God to work in the heart. And their role is just as important as the guys talking. But there's something about two that gives us greater power. In the book of Psalms, chapter 91, it says this, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. But he goes on, and you go to Ecclesiastes, and he says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have power as a child of God through the Spirit of God to accomplish whatever it is that's before us. But when we have somebody alongside of us, it encourages us and gives us, in a sense, a greater power. And he even gets to the part where there's three, which is like a threefold cord, like a rope that not easily broken. So we find here these that are paired up, and God does this for a reason. That's why God gives men wives. Because they become greater as that. They become one flesh. Friday night I got to go to a wedding of a young girl that graduated from here. Matter of fact, it's Naomi's sister. And to watch these two get married, what a pleasure that was. Two young people who know the Lord, love the Lord, and I heard some things that just kind of blew my mind away about their spirituality, and thank God for that. And by the way, he's a dairy farmer, she's going to go up and milk cows now. But that part kind of slays me. But God puts people together. Some of you have a very, very good friend. You do a lot of stuff with them. And there's something about that. So God wants us to have that, and it becomes useful. By the way, that's one of the things of a church, is we gather together, we can build those relationships and those bonds that makes us more, can we say this way, powerful in our witness and our testimony for Christ. Okay? Well, let's notice a few things about his healing. In verse number 17, it says he came down with them, stood in the plain, in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So they came for two purposes, to hear and to be healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. We have today, I haven't noticed it quite as much personally, perhaps it's even worse than it used to be. I don't know. I don't watch the so-called Christian television shows. I like to maintain my sanity. And some of the things that takes place in the name of the Lord, just it's bothersome to me. But there have been in our past, in our nation, a lot of guys who've claimed that they are faith healers. Now, if they were a faith healer after the realm of the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be waiting for people to get themselves to one of their services so they could walk down front and they could slay them in the spirit and somebody else could pick them up and say, you're healed. Why wouldn't they just go to the hospitals and walk through there and touch people and walk out and everybody be healed? Really. Of all these, I think there is a great problem. And that is, whenever somebody doesn't get healed under their ministry, they chalk it up to the person who's to be healed. We don't read of Jesus healing, in most cases, because of the faith of the individual. Now, there's in a few cases. But it's his power that's on display. And he does what he does. And I think about the man born of four that we've studied. And whose faith did he see? It was their faith, was it not? Okay. So anyway, Jesus healed them all. Now it's interesting to me, it says, and virtue went out from him. Interesting word, virtue. It basically means that power went out from him. And folks just wanted to touch him, be near him, because they sensed something that was there. But our Lord, thank the Lord, he does. He does heal with his hands. And praise God for that. If you have a sickness, you have a problem, one of the first things you ought to do is pray. And here's what I've learned. I've learned it through prayer that God will bring you into contact with the right people. You've probably heard this story, and perhaps it's old to you. I do not know because I tell things over and over. A year and a half ago, the doctor that Joetta was seeing, he said, why don't you just cut it off and get rid of all the problems? And I was so dumbfounded. I mean, dumbfounded me that day. I couldn't speak. Today I'd like to go back and punch him in the nose, but that wouldn't be scriptural because the Bible says I should not be a striker. Anyways, that was what he told her. You could tell he did not want to mess with her. We found out later that her doctor had retired, and so this one was taken over, and anybody who was a hard case, he did that to. Well, we got a hold of the old doctor, and he put us in touch with another one at another hospital, believe it or not. And so we went to see him. And he was a young guy. I mean, I have kids older than him. I got grandkids about as old as he is. And yet, we learned something about him, and that is he had a specialty, and his specialty is what she was. And so we were thrilled with that. How'd that come about? Because we asked God to lead us. And she's got everything taken care of. Everything's back to normal for the most part. She's in her new shoes and so forth. And so this week, we saw that doctor for the last time. Now, wait a minute. Not because we're not seeing him anymore. His wife's from Wisconsin. They're moving back. And we were devastated when we found it out. But this week, when he came in, he had the new doctor with him. Now I want you to hear this. The guy who's taken over was this guy's teacher. So, and he saw all those people in that group about his trade. And his specialty is her deal, charcoal feet. And you don't find many guys like that. How'd that happen? God. And he is one who brings about those things. Now there comes a time I realize and understand that we're not going to be healed. Sometimes Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh. But also know this, and that is that one of these days the body's going to die. And so bodies generally die because of some sort of disease. And so there's going to come a time when something we have is not going to be healed, and it's going to take us out. But guess what's going to take us out too? If we're saved, it's going to take us out to heaven. There to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Well, anyway, he healed with his hands. But I want us to notice something else. In verse number 20, I labeled it this way. He heals with his word. Verse 20, we'll read this again. It says, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Do you consider yourself poor? Well, in comparison to some of the world, we're pretty rich. But blessed be ye poor, for yours, excuse me, is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Does it sound like he's bringing about encouraging words? Boy, it does to me. He even goes on and says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. Have you ever been left out because of your stand for Christ? And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Wow. So here we find he's given some blessings. These sound like the blessings that was given in the Sermon on the Mount. And perhaps that's where this is recorded at, or that recorded. But also understand this. As a preacher, I know this. There are many things that we say in different venues, different places at different times. And so you don't find all of the Beatitudes here, but you do find a few. Is it referring back to that that time that he spoke those words, or is this another time? I really don't know. But what we do know is he brings about some great blessings and gives them hope through their trials, through their struggles. You know, you might struggle today, but there's hope of a better day. I read this as we got, it was so marvelous. There's so many great illustrations out there. How many of you have ridden a train? How many of you have ever taken a train and you went through a tunnel? You've done that? Okay. And so you take a train, you go through a tunnel. Do you get scared? The tracks aren't any different. And it's the same engineer. And for the most part, oh, we might be bothered by the darkness, but we're just going where the engineer tells us to go. And he will bring us through. That's kind of the way life is. You might be struggling now, but God's going to take you through. I read this too, I thought it was marvelous. It says, God may take you through some deep waters. And it might be the only reason is because your enemies can't swim. I don't know who says these things, but I wish I'd have thought of them. But it's marvelous. We might struggle, but there's a better day coming. You know, a lot of times we look at doom and gloom and we see this, we see that. And, if you watch very much news, you know, they never tell you good news. It's always something bad. If they can't, find something bad, they make it up. It's quite a bit of made-up news nowadays. And, you know, that's they live off of that kind of stuff. But we have a greater hope than that. Praise God for that. Today might be filled with some sorrows for any number of reasons. But somehow God brings laughter to your soul. That's our marvelous God. And he gives us healing through his words. His blessings when in opposition, those verse 22 and 23 especially. When they hate you, they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, that means many, temptations. Now, it's kind of hard to be joyous when we're going through problems. Isn't that true? But if we really get our eyes on the Lord rather than the problems, that changes everything. Really does. Our perspective really changes who we are. If all we see is trouble, that's what we're going to have. I knew a preacher. I guess I still know him. And any time I ever met him, he was always telling me about his people, and somebody had something against him. I don't remember a time when that didn't happen. And inevitably, that became true. Because of his attitude, because of his perspective, that's where it was at. And so he never looked at his people with love in his eyes and marvel at God's goodness in their lives and that kind of thing. And it really kind of began to, I think, hurt relationships. And if you were to go to that church today and ask him what they thought of him, you would not get some very good words. And it's just a sad scenario. And so we need to understand here that, listen, people are going to be against us, but we got a God, amen? Rejoice, no matter what it is. And it's interesting, people like rejoicers. Amen? But notice something. We find here what I would call the haters' woes. Did that come out right? It sounded like wolves. The haters' woes. Because we find, begin in verse 24 through 26, he has some woes. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. You've got what is consoling already because of your riches. But by the way, that's only temporary. It's only temporary. So I got a lot of stocks and bonds. Yeah, I could fly apart tomorrow. We just don't know. I mean, tragedy could happen that much would be taken away with this or that or the other thing. And riches are temporary. But we have an eternal God where we ought to really be at. And so he says, woe unto you that are rich. By the way, we find in the Bible that talks about the rich man, it's harder for him to go to heaven than others. Why? Because he's trusting his riches rather than God. Well, does that mean rich people can't get saved? No. No. It's more difficult for them to get saved because they don't see their need as much as others do. Okay? Verse 25, notice what it says here. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Kind of a similar situation. Woe unto you that are full, shall ye shall hunger. Wow. And we don't have God in our lives. And we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. We might have fullness right now, but it's going to disappear. And there will be hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Now, the first time I ever read that, I thought, wow, Lord, you've made this great life for us, and then you're going to pronounce this upon us? I don't understand. But I believe it's to help us to understand that our lives need to be devoted to Him, not to the things of this world. I read this morning. I thought it was kind of cute. You will probably not have somebody stand up at your funeral and testify, didn't they have a really lovely couch? Didn't she really wear nice shoes? It don't make any difference then, does it? Doesn't make any difference. And we put so much stock in some of that kind of stuff. All that we have is temporary. But our Lord never is temporary. He is permanent. And notice this in verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. If you stand for Christ, there's going to be some people that don't like you. They're not going to like what you stand for. And we need to beware of their flattering words. Because really they're seeking to disturb or destroy us the best they can. Verse 27, he says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Whoa. God calls us now to be a blessing to others. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. By the way, it doesn't mean you have to like your enemies and the stuff they do, but we are to love their soul. Love them as individuals, okay? And that's very difficult for us, isn't it? Hello? Okay. Just want to make sure you're still alive. Bless them that curse you. Whoa. Somebody really tells you off and you're going to tell them how nice they are? Pray for them which despitefully use you. I don't believe that means, God, would you kill them? But we actually pray for them. That, you know, things would be different. Hey, this is a good one. You've heard it many times. But unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Somebody slaps you, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other one. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, what happens when they slap you then? You can hit them. No, what the Lord's trying to tell us something is, vengeance is His. It's not ours. And He has a way of doing those kinds of things. Fellow I knew, he might be with the Lord now. I've not heard his name for many, many years. If he's still alive, he's in his 90s somewhere. But he had this belief that, I don't know where he got it at. Anyway, what happened one day was he was out visiting people and he got bit by a dog. And he said to the guy with him that, because that dog bit me, God's going to kill that dog. For some reason, they went back the next day and the dog was dead. I don't think he snuck in there and killed him himself. But vengeance is his. And he'll take care of things for us, however it might be. Okay? Give to everyone that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. We have a lady in our presence right now. That I wouldn't say I've argued with her, but I've disagreed with her. you don't know this probably, but we get tons of calls from people who want something. This week, somebody wanted us to pay their rent, and it's ongoing. It's all the time. I tell you what to do. They get a list of churches and phone numbers, and they start talking, begin to go through them. And one of the first things they tell us is, well, so-and-so told me to call all the churches. And there's some organizations evidently do that. And I believe in helping people, but there is a limit. And this lady gave the shirt off her back. It was the last thing she owned. I thank God for that kind of spirit, by the way. And we, you know, if we have somebody that's in need and we can help them, praise God. Amen. As ye would, here's the golden rule, that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's what God wants us to do. And to be kind to them, be nice to them, it comes back. What goes around comes around, isn't that true? We put this verse in there, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Yeah. By the way, that verse does not mean that you feel friendly. It must be shown. There's a difference. You might be on the inside, but you need to show it. How do I show it? A high smile or wash hands together. I'll shake hands. Greet people. By the way, this morning, I do this all the time. People come up and say, how you feeling? I appreciate the fact folks want to know how I'm feeling. I don't think it's, sometimes we just say it, don't we? But especially some of the things in the past, I know that it's very real, and I appreciate that. And I always got this smart aleck answer with my fingers. Just for the record, I can't feel very much with my fingers at all. I have neuropathy. And so anyways, I'm not completely lying, but getting close. I don't know how you are, but sometimes I'll be feeling terrible and somebody, I just say good. Why do you do that? Because I don't want to go into it. And I don't think you really want me to. Have you seen two old people standing around there comparing what medicines they take? Takes them 90 minutes to go through their list. Oh, I take that too. I can show you my list. I carry it. I'll make you copies if you want it. Really, I go to the drugstore and I just tell them, give me everything you got except that. Anyways, life's good, amen? Even if we got to do it medicated once in a while. And I'm glad from the greatest medicine of all, laughter doeth good like a medicine. All righty. So learn to laugh. By the way, the greatest subject you can laugh about, do you know what it is? Yourself. Hey, that's right, yourself. You are absolutely hilarious. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to have a hard time in life. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you so much this morning for your goodness. Thank you for your word and for a Savior that can heal, not only with these hands, but these words. Lord, thank you for the encouraging words you give us and the blessings that you have said you bestow upon us and how marvelous you are in these things. We love you this morning. We pray you might work in the hour to follow. And above all else, Lord, we not steal the glory from you, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.